Chapter 117. There was a slight acquaintance between these two gentlemen, and the captain, going back with the baronet to the room where the latter's brother was, told Sir Pitt, in confidence, that he had made the affair all right between Lord Stang and the colonel. Sir Pitt was well pleased, of course, at this intelligence, and congratulated his brother warmly upon the peaceful issue of the affair, making appropriate moral remarks upon the evils of dueling, and the unsatisfactory nature of that sort of settlement of disputes. And after this preface, he tried with all his eloquence to effect a reconciliation between Rawdon and his wife. He recapitulated the statements which Becky had made, pointed out the probabilities of their truth, and asserted his own firm belief in her innocence. But Rawdon would not hear of it. "He has kept money concealed from me these 10 years, he said, he swore, last night only, as he had none from Stang. She knew it was all up, directly I found it. If she's not guilty, Pitt, she's as bad as guilty, and I'll never see her again, never." His head sank down on his chest as he spoke the words, and he looked quite broken and sad. "Poor old boy," McMurdo said, shaking his head. Rawdon Crawley resisted for some time the idea of taking the place which had been procured for him by so odious a patron, and was also for removing the boy from the school where Lord Stang's interest had placed him. He was induced, however, to acquiesce in these benefits by the entreaties of his brother and McMurdo, but mainly by the latter, pointing out to him what a fury Stang would be in to think that his enemy's fortune was made through his means. When the Marquis of Stang came abroad after his accident, the colonial secretary bowed up to him and congratulated himself and the service upon having made so excellent an appointment. These congratulations were received with a degree of gratitude which may be imagined on the part of Lord Stang. The secret of the rencontre between him and Colonel Crawley was buried in the profoundest oblivion, as Wenham said, that is, by the seconds and the principals. But before that evening was over it was talked of at 50 dinner tables in Vanity Fair. Little Cackleby himself went to 7 evening parties, and told the story with comments and emendations at each place. How Mrs. Washington White reveled in it. The Bishopess of Ealing was shocked beyond expression. The bishop went and wrote his name down in the visiting book at Gaunt House that very day. Little Southdown was sorry, so you may be sure was his sister Lady Jane, very sorry. Lady Southdown wrote it off to her other daughter at the Cape of Good Hope. It was town talk for at least 3 days, and was only kept out of the newspapers by the exertions of Mr. Wagg, acting upon a hint from Mr. Wenham. The bailiffs and brokers seized upon poor Raggles in Curzon Street, and the late fair tenant of that poor little mansion was in the meanwhile where? Who cared? Who asked after a day or two? Was she guilty or not? We all know how charitable the world is, and how the verdict of Vanity Fair goes when there is a doubt. Some people said as he had gone to Naples in pursuit of Lord Stang, whilst others averred that his lordship quitted that city and fled to Palermo on hearing of Becky's arrival. Some said she was living in Bierstadt and had become a dame d'honneur to the Queen of Bulgaria. Some that she was at Bowlen, and others, at a boarding house at Cheltenham. Rawdon made her a tolerable annuity, and we may be sure that she was a woman who could make a little money go a great way, as the saying is. He would have paid his debts on leaving England, could he have got any insurance office to take his life, but the climate of Coventry is, and was so bad, that he could borrow no money on the strength of his salary. He remitted, however, to his brother punctually, and wrote to his little boy regularly every mail. He kept McMurdo in cigars and sent over quantities of shells, cayenne pepper, hot pickles, guava jelly, and colonial produce to Lady Jane. He sent his brother home the Swamptown Gazette, in which the new governor was praised with immense enthusiasm, whereas the Swamptown Sentinel, whose wife was not asked to Government House, declared that His Excellency was a tyrant, compared to whom Nero was an enlightened philanthropist. Little Rodin used to like to get the papers and read about His Excellency. His mother never made any movement to see the child. He went home to his aunt for Sundays and holidays. He soon knew every bird's nest about Queen's Crawley, and rode out with Sir Huddlestone's hounds, which he admired so on his first well-remembered visit to Hampshire. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.